Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday morning to you as we come into the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Andrew's got the Periscope fired up. The gang's all here. I imagine we're all doing better than Houston. I am very impressed with Houston's performance on this cocktail because when I walked into the studio, the smell hit me, and that was enough for me. I don't know what happens if you don't complete the punishment, but I would not have completed it. Nope, not doing it. Just based on the smell alone. But shout out to him. Great performance. Cody McClure, how are you this morning?
I am well. It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere on a Wednesday morning. The cocktail, I saw it involved something referred to as cuttlefish.
I don't know.
Was it something finishing sauce, whatever that is, and ham glaze.
Yeah, it was bad news. It was bad news. Poor Houston.
You know, we've got a lot of bets on the board for our show.
I'm not doing those. Nope, not happening. I mean, there's a little bit of karma for Houston because the first couple weeks he really gloated at the other two, whenever he was winning. So, the shot caller and that, like, I feel like it's a little bit of his comeuppance. Like, I feel like he was pretty rough on the other guys as he was bragging about winning. So, I do feel like he's probably drawn the worst two, the last 2 weeks.
If I was him, I would rather do the disgusting cocktail than I would the shot collar because he let me try the shot collar, and it's just so uncomfortable.
I feel like they shouldn't have done that to you.
What do you mean?
Big guy, heart. I don't feel like they should be shocking you like that. I feel like I feel like there's got to be some type of insurance things there.
No, I asked him to let me try it. But, yeah, maybe not a good idea. I don't know. Are you not supposed to shock fat people?
I just feel like I wouldn't.
Too much electric current or something?
I wouldn't risk it. Just.
Yeah.
Just, I wouldn't have felt comfortable had I known.
Might trigger something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't lose the big guy.
Well, that would be a bad way to go. Yeah, I wanted to try a Houston shock collar and rest in peace. But, I'm doing well today. How you doing?
I'm good. Last night the NBA kicked off. We got 1.5 good baseball games. 1.5. I mean, the Red Sox blew that game open in the seventh inning, maybe the eighth inning. I don't know. Blew that out. They go up 2-1 over the Astros. You had the Dodgers and Brewers go extra innings. You had Manny Machado really spice this series up by trying to take a swat at the Brewers' first baseman's leg. I don't know if you saw that play. They're replaying it right behind us right now on the TV. But first baseman's there. He's kind of hovering over the base a little bit. He's standing awkwardly, and Machado very clearly takes like his left leg as he's running by and puts like a shin to the back of like that guy's ankle. I don't know if he's trying to send a message. I don't know if he's just a jerk. But when you get a quote from the Brewers' best player and maybe the league MVP. And Christian Yelich saying, it's a dirty play by a dirty player. All right, let's go. That series is officially underway now, 2-2, best of three. Kershaw on the mound tonight. Or I guess this afternoon, it plays at 5 o'clock. And then in the Astros-Red Sox, we get a report from Yahoo Sports last night about the Astros having spies and stealing signs and how they've been doing it for years. How they send this guy into the photograph area and he just takes pictures and then relays the signs. And how three people got sent out, three Astros executives got sent out of the Indians game three in Cleveland.
So, they're a bunch of cheaters.
Maybe.
And they got their ass beat last night, 8-2.
Like, the Red Sox could only be so mad about the cheating because didn't they get fined for cheating last year? I feel like they got fined for cheating last year for doing something with sign stealing. I want to say they got fined either last year or the year before. So they can only be so high and mighty. And there was the whole, like, David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez and all those guys were on steroids. So, like, they can't be too high and mighty.
Seems like there's a lot of cheating that goes on in baseball.
But here we go. Now the series are competitive, and you have off the field drama.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Yelich quote of he's a dirty player, and he made a dirty play. 2-2 of Kershaw on the mound. That's good. Last night in the NBA, did you watch either of those games? The Celtics and Sixers felt like, I'm just going to call it a defensive struggle because everyone always acts like NBA players couldn't play defense. So I'll just say, yeah, they really learned how to play defense in that first half because it was about as sloppy as basketball as you could find in terms of them just kicking the ball around, turnover after turnover, missed shot after missed shot. It was like 4-2, 4 minutes into the game. NBA players finally learned how to play defense. That's the narrative I'm going with.
Okay.
Did you watch either of those?
No.
Yeah?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to see either game, but it is nice to see the Celtics open the season with a big win. The Warriors game, it looks like it was a little bit closer than
Especially with no Westbrook. Yeah, especially with no Russell Westbrook. I do think the Thunder upgraded their bench. I do think the Thunder probably feel really good about where they're at after that game. The Warriors, I feel like, might just kind of sleepwalk through this season. They don't have the depth. They're trying to break in a couple new young guys into the rotation. Obviously, no DeMarcus Cousins. Feels like it will be a season where they don't really have their foot on the gas the entire season, where they're kind of like, hey, we've been to the finals four straight times. We kind of need to conserve some energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the regular season Warriors, if I'm betting now, would not get the one seed in the West. That might be a gross overreaction from game one, but they didn't get the one seed last year because you had a team, you know, go pedal to the metal the entire season trying to get it in the Rockets.
Yeah, there's probably something to say there for a team that, you know, like if they haven't been there before or it's been a long time since they've been there, they're a little more inspired to play their best ball during the season.
Yeah.
Whereas the Warriors they know they can coast.
Yeah, I mean, just tying that in also to last night, I mean, I do feel like the Celtics will be a team that looks and says, yeah, we really need home court advantage this year. Not just in the Eastern Conference playoffs, but in the finals, too. So, like, I do think they're going to gun for the best record in basketball. I think they need it. I think they want to host a potential finals Game 7 in Boston. That team is really deep and talented. I do wonder just how deep is too deep when it comes to rotations like that. But last night, it was just a wave of people. And the Sixers just kept turning the ball over. But I do think, like, my big takeaway from last night, outside of the baseball series heating up, it's just that the Sixers found two superstars. I know we kind of already knew that, but just watching Ben Simmons last night, it's just so effortless watching him play and watching him glide. to the basket, watching him grab rebounds and run fast breaks. Like, I don't know if he'll average a triple-double this year, but last night he had a pretty easy, like, 17-12-8. And it was easy.
It was 19-15-8.
Okay, yeah.
So he
was in the game late. He added a couple stats late. But, yeah, so it was, what, 19-15-8?
Got close to a triple-double last night.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he'll average one for the year, but he's going to flirt with it. He's going to be a stat hog. And the Sixers did the whole tanking thing, the whole we're going to be really bad. That way they can maximize their opportunities to find these stars, and they found two. Now, I do wonder, like, how long those two are fine with being each other's sidekick. Like, throughout NBA history, we have the data that shows, like, two young superstars, eventually one alpha emerges. So I do wonder how long they are cool with being Batman and Robin, or are there two superheroes who are equal that hang out together?
The only combination of superheroes I know of is Batman and Robin, and Robin's really not even a superhero, is he?
Like Batman and Catwoman? They hang out.
Is Catwoman a superhero?
Batman and Superman teamed up. There was a movie like a couple years ago, right?
It was awful.
Or were they fighting?
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, yeah, so never mind.
Well, I think they only fought for the first half of the movie.
Okay, so
I never watched it, but from what I'd heard, basically they fight, and then they realize their mother has the same name, and then they're friends.
I guess technically, like, all of the Avengers team up and the Justice League, but that's not a duo.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Captain America and Iron Man.
Okay, yeah.
But then, like, they're fighting in Civil War. Like, they're the two leading the fight against each other, right?
Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
They team up, right? Yeah.
No. Oh, the Winter Soldier. Okay, yeah.
Freddy versus Jason.
Well, no, they're versus. There's versus there.
No. Yeah. I was just,
I mean, for a little bit, they...
Great rivalries.
I guess for a little bit, they're trying to team up, but then eventually they realize, hey, I'm the alpha. Like, basically, Freddy versus Jason played out like I'm saying that the Sixers eventually will, because Embiid is big, and he's a little bit faster than Jason, but they're both big, and Simmons is more of the Freddy type, the more of the point guard role.
Slasher.
Yeah.
I love the end of that movie where Jason kills Freddy, and then Freddy just kind of winks. The last scene is him just winking at the at the screen.
Spoiler alert, bro.
I doubt anybody's going to go back and watch Freddy versus Jason.
It's Halloween time. It's Halloween time. I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
People might be desperate for scary movies right now.
I watched Jigsaw last night.
Oh, yeah?
Jigsaw.
That was not fun.
Is that like the seventh Saw?
It was the eighth.
It was like the one after they ended, they brought it back.
Yeah.
Saw 3 is the GOAT. Any disputes on that?
The last time I watched Saw 3, it was like I was like 12.
Okay.
And so I
those Saw movies, man.
I mean, is the first one not the best one?
No. Saw 3.
First one's pretty good.
Those Saw movies were rough.
Yeah, no, I couldn't take them. I got out after. I want to say I got out after like 2 or 3.
Well, I was like 10 years old.
I think 3 might have been the last one.
I started watching those at a young age. I was like, ah.
My brother-in-law got like the trilogy set, the first 3, for like Christmas one time. Mm-hmm. So we all watched them, and I didn't sleep for like a month.
Yeah, when that guy sawing his leg off.
Wait, hold on. Say that again?
I didn't sleep for like a month.
No. So your brother got that for Christmas? Like, when you say you guys watched them, do you mean like the whole family got together around the TV and watched them around Christmas? Or do you mean
my
like
brother-in-law,
brother?
My brother-in-law, my sister, myself, and my other brother.
Okay.
Well, at least you had mates. I watched that stuff alone.
But yeah, when I got back to my mom's house and I wasn't sleeping, she called my dad and she was so mad.
Yeah, that's how I was the first time I ever watched Stephen King's Silver Bullet. That big gorilla suit guy, just terrifying, man.
Chad,
you were scared of a gorilla?
You watch Stephen King's Silver Bullet and tell me. So it's more than the gorilla. It's terrifying. It's Stephen King.
I was that way with the Blair Witch. I saw that like in what, 4th or 5th grade, and my bedroom at the time had a bunch of woods next to it, so like the tree limbs were always hitting the street lights, and I just always saw the witch figures, like the stick man and stuff they made in that movie. I always saw them in my window.
That shadow is the worst.
Yeah.
The tree hitting the street lights.
Yeah, it was terrifying. Yeah. That one did it for me. That one was the one that bothered me for, you know, a year afterwards, basically. and just living, you know, in the woods, like I said, it was always pretty terrifying for me.
It is getting close to Halloween.
Yeah, I know. And then you just ruin, you just go and ruin Freddy versus Jason for everybody.
Nobody's watching Freddy versus Jason.
Chad Byers says Captain America and Falcon teamed up.
Who the hell is Falcon?
I don't know.
Who is Falcon?
What about?
I only know Hawkeye. That's the
The Hawkeye was going to be my original. Well, when you said Falcon, I was going to say, is that the one Jeremy Renner plays that didn't get to be in the big movie? They left him out of the big one.
I'll look up Falcon.
In the Mission Impossible,
I'm just going to go ahead and say Chad Falcon doesn't count because none of us know who the hell he is. In the Mission Impossible movies, what? There's Tom Cruise.
Cruise teams up with people to fight evil.
No,
they're kind of like superheroes.
No, they're not, and I'm not allowing that as a. I'm not allowing that as a comparison.
It's always teamwork. What about the A-Team?
Are you just going to go next with, like, what about the New York Police Department? What about NYPD? Like, what are we doing here? The A-Team wasn't superheroes. I'm
trying to think of things.
Point being, like, usually it doesn't work out that way. Very rarely do you have two alphas on the team.
The Wonder Twins.
Who the hell are the Wonder Twins?
You know, they had the rings.
The Winklevosses from the Facebook movie?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's the
superheroes that team.
They had up. Like I think they had rings. It's an old one. I'm trying to remember.
Intern Andrew just pulled up a picture of them. I'm gonna throw the flag on that one too. They look weird.
They had rings and basically they put them together. They could transform into anything. They'd just be like shape of blah blah blah.
Okay, yeah. No, let's just go to break. Difference a year makes. Last year, Tennessee basketball projected to finish 13th in the SEC. Had no real talent on the team, according to most. After a 26-9 season, a SEC regular season co-championship, a trip to the SEC championship, and a 3-seed in the national tournament, Tennessee has now been picked to finish second. Second. From next to last to next to first.
Hope we don't finish last. It's like the opposite of what happened last year.
Oh, God.
Go from next to last to first.
Why would you say that?
This year we could go from next to first to last.
Relax. We don't want to speak that into existence.
That doesn't work.
I'm a believer that it does.
By the way, superheroes team up all the time and it works.
One and two. I'm talking about one and two, not a whole group of them.
I just discovered if you actually read the comic books, apparently it's happened many, many times. Like Batman and Superman,
right, but
Batman and Spider-Man.
Do they not stay together for a short amount of time? That's kind of my point. I mean, like, do any of them, are they any of them long-lasting, like, or is it not always Batman and Robin? Like, hey, I'm Batman, you're Robin. And we all know, no one makes the case. I've never heard anyone argue Robin is better than Batman. Have they?
I mean, Robin saved his ass a few times.
He did, and that's what a good sidekick's supposed to do. But no one ever argues that Robin's actually the alpha.
Were Hawkeye and Black Widow a team before they went to the Avengers?
Nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're getting above my
Hawkeye's super, the bow and arrow guy.
Yeah, but I don't know who Black Widow is.
Black Widow's the girl with the short hair, has a crush on Hulk.
Who plays her in the movie? Is that Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Probably Halle Berry.
Scarlett Johansson.
Is she the one that could shoot the arrow? What does she do?
She's an assassin.
Okay.
She can shoot anything. He shoots arrows.
Yeah.
He's an arrow specialist.
Yeah.
But I think they were a team.
See, you have to work with me on my superhero knowledge because I've seen Batman, the first three Supermans, never watched any Supermans. I hate Superman. The first three Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire. The second two Spider-Mans with Andrew Garfield, you know, with Emma Stone.
Yeah. So we're five Spider-Men in.
And then, I mean, I was like, why? I don't know. Did you watch the second one with Andrew Garfield where they, spoiler alert, kill Emma Stone? I'm like, what the hell just happened here?
I took my girlfriend on our first date, actually, to that.
I was so mad, and then they quit making those, and then I haven't watched the new guy. I mean, no offense to him. I'm out of the Spider-Man game. And then I watched, like, a couple Captain Americas, Black Panther, the Edward Norton Hulk. Like, not even the one with Mark Ruffalo. The one from, like...
The way back when?
Yeah, the one from a long time ago.
Where they, like, show, like, you cut up a starfish or something?
something like that. And then, like, two of the Avenger movies. What? Maybe just one of the Avenger movies, actually. Maybe just Civil War.
That's not even the first one.
No, not even. Maybe the first one I watched it on FX one day because it was on FX. But yeah, I don't remember much of it. I guess I remember a little bit of it. So I guess I technically watched that one too. But then, yeah, I went to see Civil War in theaters for some reason.
I apologize for bringing this back up.
You did it. I was moved on. You come to me with superheroes team up all the time. No, they don't. Not for long terms. They get together for a short term to stop an evil, and then they break up. You further just cemented my point, actually. Well, actually.
I have nothing to say.
And it's coming with Embiid and Simmons. I don't know when. But there's already some frustration coming out of Philadelphia where, you know, Embiid's like, this isn't a rivalry. The Celtics always kick our ass. They can't beat them.
Shaq and Kobe.
Broke up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they stayed together a while.
They stayed together for a couple years and then broke up. But even then, like, it wasn't a... Even then, it almost wasn't even a equal partnership. It was Shaq was number one, Kobe was two. It was Shaq's team for the, you know, for Shaq was there first in his prime before Kobe developed. Marbury and Garnett, same way. Like, they came up together, and then eventually they hate each other, and they ship Starberry off. Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. Harden's like, nope, I'm out of here. And then shortly after, you know, Durant got tired and left.
Jordan Pippen.
That was more of a Batman-Robin situation.
Yeah, probably.
That was more of a, we know who the alpha is, we got a sidekick. Because it doesn't strike me as either one of these guys in Philadelphia want to be the sidekick. And Joel Embiid, was smart in his efforts to kind of hijack the team. They had the motto, trust the process, right? That was more of the overarching tanking, right? Hey, we're going to tank. We're going to stink. We're going to be really bad. We're going to call that the process. Trust the process. And the next thing you knew, Joel Embiid just started calling himself the process. Like, that was his nickname. So all the trust the process just basically became trust Joel Embiid. Like, he hijacked the whole idea, the identity of the team.
That's good marketing.
It is good marketing. He became the alpha. He made the first move. But watching Simmons last night, I'm just looking like, man, this guy's really good. He's probably not going to want to be a sidekick. Probably not going to want to be a sidekick. Now, Durant and Curry, that's probably... Is Durant and Curry the best example of, like, two equals? I mean, I know Wade and LeBron, maybe their first year, but after that, it was LeBron's team.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think in so many different ways. Like, Simon and Garfunkel had to break up.
Yeah, even in music, like if you've got two guys equally talented, one wants to be the lead guy, right? Isn't that how it always goes?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes. I mean, some bands stick together, but like...
What bands have two equals?
I'm thinking of duos. Oh, Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, they've stayed together. But they hated each other through an entire decade in the 80s.
I thought everyone acknowledged Mick was better.
Stop.
I mean, is that not a thing?
There's a reason that Keith's solo albums outsold Mick Jagger's.
There's a whole song dedicated to.
I mean, all I've heard is, yeah, I've heard Moves Like Jagger. I haven't heard Rockin' Like Keith. That's all I'm saying.
Keith's solo albums outsold Jagger's because they sounded like the Stones, and that tells you everything you need to know. We're not going to argue about that.
Who sounded like the Stones?
It'll take too long. Keith's, because he's backbone of the entire band.
Right, so Mick tried to go out in the
Lennon and
bit.
McCartney broke up. Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, they hate each other, but they stayed together. Axel and Slash split up.
I mean, I feel like it always happens. That was my takeaway from last night's NBA game. The Thunder, solid. They're deeper than usual. Getting Carmelo off that team was a heaven sent. Paul George had a terrible first half, played a great second half. And then I was looking, I'm just like, yeah, this Simmons and Embiid stuff probably has. I'm going to give it 2 years. I'm not necessarily ready to think of them as the future of the East. I picture them as a candidate to want to split. And you also sort of kind of got the vibe that that might be coming in Boston in terms of who that alpha is. Because last night, Kyrie played terribly. And Jason Tatum was the best player on the Celtics. Now, that's Kyrie's first game back from injury. So I'll hold off judgment on him. But that's a bad first game after you made a, you know, after you had a movie released in the summer. Like, Uncle Drew came out. Then you come out and you played like an old man.
Even Oprah and Dr. Phil split up. That was a powerful afternoon lineup.
Even Steve Wilkos wanted to leave Jerry Springer and start his own show. He was the bodyguard on Jerry Springer forever. Next thing you knew, he had his own show. I'm telling you, man, these egos.
God and Jesus.
I've always gotten that confused because of like the Holy Spirit and the, you know, the Trinity. Like I've always
technically, they're the same thing, but...
Right, that's what I was saying. Like, I've always, you know...
God did send Jesus to die.
Ricky Bobby and Cal, they split up. You make a good case. I mean, and well, he was just a sidekick, really, but they still split. You make a good case. I mean, it's hard to think of duos that have completely stood the test of time together without any real friction, you know?
Unless they have defined roles. I think it's possible, like, you know, here, me and you.
Zero doubt we'll be together 10 years from now, right?
Zero doubt. Alpha? I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
And superstar.
Alpha and superstar. That's fine. I mean, in radio, it happens too. Like Mike and the Mad Dog, it did not happen with them as well. Like they're the most famous duo forever, and then eventually they both like, "Hey, we want to do things our way," and they split up too.
Never happened to Stern and Robin, but Robin.
Yeah,
has,
I mean, obviously Robin's the sidekick there.
Definition of a sidekick. Yeah. When your name is Robin.
Poor girl. But I mean, she's probably stanky rich because of it. I would imagine she's pulling in a pretty good salary, and I mean, she has her carved out role, and she's great. Everyone loves Robin.
I think a lot of people hate Robin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When I used to listen, I used to like Robin.
I like Robin, but a lot of people don't like
her. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Those who listen religiously.
Oh. Well, I guess she keeps them there and just keeps them mad.
The Blue Collar Comedy Tour group, they split up. Had a lot of alphas there.
Speaking of which, like, a little side note, which this whole segment's been a side note because I was ready to move on to college basketball, but have you seen the billboard in West Knoxville for Jeff Dunham? How the hell is Jeff Dunham still touring? I know we've already gone over this.
Billboards?
I know we've already gone over this once, but like, I see this billboard in West Knoxville, and it's the second most egregious billboard behind the big power T that hangs down. Have you seen that billboard with the big, huge power T?
Oh, I love that.
You like
it's
that?
It's a big ass T right in town. Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down from Ben Lee. You like the big power T?
There we go.
A shrug, thumbs up.
Two
Andrew?
Andrew likes it.
Have you even seen Andrew? Okay, Andrew's seen it.
I mean, I don't get upset when I drive by it.
To me, I'm just like, man, this is an eyesore.
Who hates a power T?
I don't like the billboard.
It was a little weird because the first time I saw it was after we got smashed by Florida. And so I was like driving by and I was like still mad and I looked at it, I was like, damn it.
There's still the white like billboard behind it. I don't know. I don't like it. In my power ranking of worst billboards around town, it's the Jeff Dunham 1, Power T 2, the Chuck Norris on whatever channel he's on. And for some reason, they were promoting that a month or so ago.
No, the worst one has to be the John Boy and Billy one.
Oh, good call. That one's awful,
That's
got
to be the worst one.
That one's awful, too.
Chad Byers says Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, strong case for Bert and Ernie.
I might be the only one. And they might be lovers.
Kanye and Kim.
People submitting a lot of duos and supergroups right here. The Seven Maxims, the set points out the Steiner Brothers, the Rockers, the Four Horsemen, they all split up. Yep.
The Steiner Brothers.
They split up.
I think we can do better than that, can't we?
I mean, one became a star. Big Papa Pump.
The Rockers. I'll give you the Rockers.
Oh, you'll give them the Rockers, but not...
Yes. They were tag team.
Did you ever think Marty Jannetty was on Shawn Michaels' level?
No.
Okay.
But at least they had a dynamic thing together. Who the hell watched the Steiner Brothers?
You knew from the get-go that the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels, was destined for greatness. Marty Jannetty was holding him back.
Yeah.
I just hope one day you never try to super kick me through a glass window.
Live on the air. SpongeBob and Patrick.
We
should just do this for the rest of the show. Talk some sports, and I'll interject occasionally with Bonnie and Clyde.
Never watched Bonnie and Clyde. Never. I mean, I know who they are, a husband and wife. I don't know if one was higher on the pegging order with who was the one you gave me right before that?
SpongeBob and Patrick.
I mean, is SpongeBob not the alpha there? I mean, the name of the show is SpongeBob.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, Patrick is the epitome of a sidekick.
He had such an element, though. Like, if he wasn't there, I mean, it's just kind of SpongeBob.
Well, I'm not saying that the sidekick doesn't bring something to the table. Like, the sidekick 100% brings something to the table and needs to be there. Like,
so we're trying to find things that are completely equal.
That's what I'm looking for, that had sustained success.
Yeah.
Because when I watch Embiid and Simmons last night, I look at them and say, these guys, completely equal. Like, they do different things, don't get me wrong, but, like, I see them both as being stars. The only thing I'm coming up with right now so far is, like, Durant and Curry. But I almost even love, there's an exception to the rule, which is, like, super team. Like, the Avengers, you know, like, you can have all these equals together if you have more than two. With Durant and Curry, oh, yeah, there's Klay and Draymond. Chad tweets in Joey and Chandler, which is A, really disrespectful to Ross, the best character on the show. And again, group, six of them. And then intern Andrew said, who are Joey and Chandler? And then I felt really old.
Even I knew that, and I don't even watch Seinfeld.
Hall and Oates, are they still together?
DC
says they still tour together.
Oh, really?
I thought they had broken up. Did they get back together to tour or something? Because, I mean, there are two equals.
Got a submission for the Blues Brothers, but everybody knows that was Belushi.
Yeah.
Bacon and eggs?
Come on. Everyone knows eggs is the alpha there.
Yeah.
I mean, eggs are better than bacon. Like, let's just...
You got some real bacon homers, though. Like, those are...
I understand that. I'm not going to have the argument about how great bacon is or not. Whatever, it's fine. Eggs are just more versatile, and they are the staple. You can eat sausage and eggs, and it's still good, right?
Yeah, but nobody eats just sausage and bacon sausage.
You're kind of weird if you do that, right?
Yeah. Eggs got to be there.
Here might be the winner so far. Which at the time, I don't know how the duo would have been split up, but this seems like two equals who kind of stayed together. Ego never really got in the way, and I guess you could also extrapolate this out to football, but Orange Blood in 98 sends in Popovich and Tim Duncan. Although, like, I mean, because then you can go with Brady and Belichick as well, like on the football scope, but it feels like almost like, you know, that's more of a coach and a player, probably a different dynamic, right?
They do seem like equals, though.
Yeah, they do, and, I mean, Duncan's great, and Popovich is still being good. without Duncan, but hasn't won a championship or been, you know, to the finals without Duncan. Like, there's definitely been a slip in the Spurs, not only their success on the court, but also their culture, right? Like, the moment Duncan leaves, then you have Kawhi hijack the season. Like, the moment that happens.
Yeah. I do think we could say it with Brady and Belichick.
Although, like, now, obviously, they've been together for how long? I mean, since 2001, 17 years. But, I mean, even now you see them, like, the last couple years just fighting for who gets the credit, right? Now, granted, like, 17 years is a long time, but even they're like, wait a second. I'm the reason this is great. You got Brady, like, talking about how he wants to go away from Belichick and prove he could do it. And, you know, you have the rumors all last summer that Belichick wants to keep Garoppolo and get rid of Brady. And then Belichick wants to leave.
Romeo and Juliet.
They didn't last very long.
They went all the way to the end together, though.
Yeah, they didn't last very long. They weren't together long enough to get sick of each other. They were still in the honeymoon phase. Romeo and Juliet, I mean, 4 years into it, we would have seen how that was going.
Somebody's going to end up dead.
Once the family just accepted it and there was no longer the thrill of upsetting their families, that love would have faded. Once the star-crossed lovers just became lovers, it's not as fun anymore.
Ah, The Fox and the Hound. What a great movie. Sad.
What's the climax of Fox and the Hound?
I think the fox gets hit by a milk truck.
No, that's not it. Because I do remember being really sad watching that movie.
I do, too. It was like one of my favorite movies as a kid, but it was really sad.
I didn't like it because it made me sad.
I like things that made me sad.
What was the climax on it? Like, the hound is a hunter, and then he finds the fox, and, like, he lets him go because they're friends? Or, like, do they become
Doesn't
friends
the
at the end?
Doesn't the hound get shot?
The hound gets shot?
Or maybe the fox. Somebody gets shot. I'm pretty sure somebody gets shot. I think it ends up like...
You might be getting Old Yeller confused.
It's either that... I don't know. Like the plot of a Western or something.
Oh, maybe there's a bear? Is there a bear that comes?
Kills the fox.
They're hunting the foxes. Man, this is terrifying for a kid. The fox has narrowly escaped without getting burned. As they get chased up to the hill to a waterfall, the hunters close in for the kill, but a large bear suddenly emerges. A bear comes out of nowhere and attacks Slade. Slade falls into one of his own traps.
Who's Slade?
Slade and Cooper are two hunters trying to get these.
Cooper's the hound, isn't he?
Oh, is he? Okay, maybe. So wait, Cooper dies? Then Todd comes and intervenes and fights the bear?
It's Todd and Copper.
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 Not
yeah.
Cooper. I was like, who the hell? Okay.
Yeah, because he's so sad. Copper. Copper. Yeah, Copper dies. That's right.
So Copper tries fighting the bear. Copper's the dog, right?
No, Copper.
Who's who?
Copper is the hound.
Okay.
The dead hound.
Then Todd intervenes, and the fox tries to fight the bear. Okay, so then the fox comes and tries to save the dog, and then they both fall down the waterfall. Oh, man. Okay, so even after all this, Copper, who had just got attacked by a bear, the owner still wants, Slade still wants to come and kill the fox? Like, he wants to kill this fox that bad after a bear attacked? He's like, no, I'm still going to kill this fox who's obviously...
devastated.
Yeah, like, it just like, kind of helped save their lives. I'm still going to kill this fox. That's what Disney was putting out there for the kids? But then the hound lays on the fox and like basically is like, I'm not letting you shoot this. This is my friend.
Oh, don't forget, the old dog Chief gets hit by a train.
Really?
That's what Chad says. I can't remember the movie. I remember I really liked it as a kid, but I don't remember what happened other than it being sad.
It's the most devastating children's movie I've ever read. Like, Bambi getting sorry, you know, Bambi's mom getting shot at the beginning of the movie was pretty sad too.
The cover of the movie literally says a story of two friends who didn't know they were supposed to be enemies.
Is there like some like?
Apparently, there's an owl involved.
I mean, it's really just was Disney going for like we are naturally inclined to love, we learn hate. Is that what they're going for there?
Maybe so.
Like, hey, society is what makes us the way we are. We all love our brothers and sisters when we're born. We're born good.
Is that the lesson?
I feel like that's the moral of the story, right? Like two best friends who didn't know they're supposed to be enemies. Like they love each other when they're younger, and then they realize, like, hey, we're supposed to hate each other.
They should have just put right on the cover, we want to make the kids sad.
It's got nothing on Dumbo. Dumbo, I remember Dumbo used to bum the hell out of me. Circus life is no life for the animals. Even I knew that from an early age. And that's the movie that's got the really, if you go back and watch it, the really cringy, like, black crows, right?
Yeah.
That are, like, pretty overtly racist in today's age. Like, would not fly in 2018, right? They got the crows who are black, and they make them all shuck and jive and, like, you know, have the really stereotypical Southern black men characteristics. I remember, yeah. Even at a young age, I knew that this was a sad movie that wasn't right.
Weren't they in the Jungle Book, too?
Well, I don't think the crows were.
There's some kind of birds.
I'm sure they had something. I feel like Disney was pretty racially insensitive back in the day.
He was a racist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's well documented.
Not surprising from a friend of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But even then, I knew this elephant in the circus is not happy. I feel like that couldn't have been good for circus attendance. Yesterday, did you see that viral video that went by, that kid trying to feed the bear water? It was like at some circus. It looked like they're in Taiwan or somewhere. I don't know. And like the bear's like leaned up on the side as this kid's trying to pour some water down its mouth. And it runs out, and the bear just has the absolute saddest like reaction when the water's gone. It just like you. All I could picture was Cody just putting his head on his hands and just being like, ugh. Except it puts it on the wall, like just so exasperated, like.
Is that on Twitter?
I'm going to die of thirst. I'll find the video. I'll show it to you. How the hell do we get to that? Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The Bridge.
Back on the program. We started off this hour basically just talking about Embiid and Simmons. A stat I just saw about Simmons last night. We were talking about averaging a triple-double and all that, and how great he was, and how he only had 8 assists. Had 27 potential assists, but the Sixers shot just 19% from 3. So basically, he could have easily had like 14 or 15 if they just hit a normal clip from 3. He's going to be great. And Tennessee celebrates their big win over Auburn by getting ready for Alabama. Did you see the Tennessee graphic team, which is usually great? They put out the Tennessee-Alabama third Saturday in October promo, and they misspelled Tennessee.
Well, that happens sometimes. When you've got two N's, two S's, and two E's, I mean, it's kind of hard. Well,
yeah, but they put...
Four E's, technically, but...
They put three N's.
No way. They put three N's?
This is a typo, but obviously it's just a typo, but it's a... What are you doing? I kept staring, did they mess up the S's, did they mess up the E's, and then finally realized, nope, there's three N's.
Now that seems inexcusable, to have three N's.
As I was trying to say, Tennessee picked to finish second in the SEC this year behind Kentucky. Grant Williams picked to repeat as SEC Player of the Year. And to the, obviously, if you're picked to be a Player of the Year, you're going to be first team All-SEC. Does it surprise you that Admiral is picked to finish second team All-SEC?
Yeah, I think Admiral was our best player by the end of the year last year.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me too, right?
Yes.
I guess if we're looking for two alphas, Tennessee kind of has them. Now, granted, Grant and Admiral are pretty much only going to have to do this for one more year. 2 years total, pretty much. But Tennessee has kind of equals, in my opinion. Because like you said, I don't think it was just you who felt like Admiral was the best player on the team at the end of last year. I don't think it was just you who thinks that Admiral is the leader on this team right now. Is that fair to say? Like, who do you think the leader is of this basketball team, Grant or Admiral?
I don't know. They seem like a team that has kind of multiple leaders. It's more of a committee of leadership.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem to me like this team really has an alpha. Unless you want to call it Barnes, that guy. Like, it seems like they have just a lot of working pieces that are all really good at what they do.
I don't think this is a team that needs to have the guy speak up. Or I don't think in basketball you necessarily have to have one, quote-unquote, like a leader when it comes to like emotion. Now, I do think you need the guy who – I do think you'll see the guy emerge. I don't know who it's going to be, like whenever Tennessee needs a bucket, right? Like, that's kind of the alpha by default. And last year it was Grant. I know it was Admiral against Georgia, but in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament against Loyola, Tennessee needed a bucket late and they dumped it into Grant. And he got the bucket.
Maybe it's Grant. I don't know. They're both, to me, they're just both really good players. And I don't know how you distinguish between the two when it comes to leadership, really.
Yeah. They've both shown those qualities throughout their times at Tennessee. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The days.